Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Did you want to talk about Neil Greenberg and his...
Well, it's too long to get into here, I think.
Yeah. But it's interesting that Bill James, who is sort of the father of statistical analysis...
What is it called? Sabermetrics?
Sabermetrics, yeah. Yes. Has now come out and said, oh, people are getting carried away with war because I guess...
War is wins above
wins
replacement.
Above replacement.
How is
yes.
that determined? Because they have it in all sports. You don't know and I don't know.
It's a magic eight ball, I believe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. They add the numbers up and they divide by 10. That's what I know.
But here's,
is it Celsius? Celsius?
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We are live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Street Northwest, in the District of Columbia, the capital of the United States of America. Enormous crowd, holiday crowd. Thank you very much for showing up.
Wow.
We're serving breakfast right now, though not when you hear it. The breakfast is not being served when you hear this because it drops at 11 o'clock. We've got a lot of people. We've got Gary Braun. We've got Gene McManus. Greg Garcia on worldwide tour, stopping off to visit his family for Thanksgiving before eventually heading to New York with Escape from Margaritaville, which is now playing in Chicago. And people at the bar here actually have tickets. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
You meet people who are going to go to the show.
Absolutely. I like it. Yeah. I like it. There's going to be a nice Christmas in the Garcia house. I keep meeting people that are going.
That's really good. That's good. So what? Let me just... Paul Carnes of Chesapeake, Virginia, sent us two boxes of black and white cookies.
Your favorite.
Yeah, I like these. But I'm going to, for people, I'm going to wait for people to have spent money and ordered, and then I'm going to put them out for free.
So if they show you a receipt with a minimum of what spent? $25 gets you a free cookie?
$10 per
$10.
Person.
I think $400
gets us cookies.
$400 seems right.
I have a letter. We're like even filled in the atrium. We're filled all over the place here. From Hunter Tuck in Carlsbad, California.
Hunter.
I know you like short, smart, and funny, and I'll try to comply with the latter requirements, but this won't be a pithy email fan note, unfortunately, because I've been listening to your show at least 10 years, been a huge fan of PTI since I can remember. Over that time, you've been the connective tissue in so many ways between my dad, my older brother, and me, and to some extent, my mom, and the woman to whom I'm now related by marriage, though they really just tolerate our incessant listening and talking about your show. I'm originally a local from Maryland and a Terp, but in the last 3 years, I've moved across the country three different times. I now reside in San Diego County, California. Each drive from coast to coast was made less burdensome because of your show. Well, for me at least. My wife would frequently ask me to turn it down or put on headphones because they're always yelling. I've been fortunate to experience several David Aldridge moments with other emailers writing from places we've lived, most famously Joe Farrell from Olney, Maryland, and others from Waltham.
Today.
Joe Farrell's here?
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, no, Joe Arrow's here.
Joe Arrow's here, not
yep,
Joe.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. And others from Waltham, Massachusetts, San Jose, California, Ensenadas, California. Uriel Casas is here. It was the greatest trainer.
Uriel,
the greatest trainer in the history of mankind is here, so I'm happy about that. These moments have been great, but really what's so special to me about your show is that no matter the distance, listening makes me feel like I'm home and laughing along with my dad and brother. This week I came back to D.C. to see your show, well, for work and to see my family, of course. I just had to get my dad and brother to come to Chatter. I was hesitant because of the don't meet your heroes rule, but the opportunity was too good to pass up. Hopefully if I run into my other hero, Gary Williams, he'll forgive my contribution to the plight of America as I am a vegetarian. So it's a very, very nice, very nice note. Let us start the show. There's no particular... Sports, there's the ongoing drama of Lonzo Ball and LeVar Ball, and just briefly to...
And Donald Trump.
Yeah, just briefly to catch people up in case you really need to know about LeVar Ball, who, as I've vowed, will never be on the PTI show. We will talk about him. We'll never put him on. He'll just hijack the show. He has nothing to say, really. I mean, it's amusing, but there's nothing coming out there. He has now said, the Lakers don't know how to coach my son. I know how to coach my son, which is his plea for make me the head coach of the Lakers.
Right. Seems reasonable.
So I can get the big baller brand in every living room. And Luke Walton, who is himself the son of a very famous person and has learned something along the way, Luke Walton looked into the camera and said, you know, he's a great dad. He has raised a great son. I really like him and I really like Lonzo and we're going to be great. As for helping coach, we can handle that ourselves. And then apparently Donald Trump has tweeted early in the morning and called LeVar Ball an unwanted fool.
Ungrateful fool.
Ungrateful fool, which I think could go both ways.
Yeah,
I think that's conceivable that there could be some reciprocity on that. This is the great part of the upcoming holiday season is the notion that we will have Donald Trump and LeVar Ball at every moment of the day. So we did this yesterday with others. We'll do this with you. Your Thanksgiving plans, and what did you do as a kid?
Sure. Oh, we're doing that now?
Yes. Yes, we're so, on the air.
Okay, well, Thanksgiving.
In 3, 2, 1.
Thank you. My Thanksgiving as a child, not a huge family. My dad was a Long Island only child like yourself. Me. So occasionally his parents would come down. My mom had siblings locally. So not a big family. But I guess when we got together with the cousins and everyone, maybe we were 15 and 20. And, you know, we'd have the whole kids table and we'd run around and the parents would get drunk and talk politics. And
do you do that now with your family?
Do you have a get big drunk and talk politics?
Well, I know you do that, but do you have a big family gathering on Thanksgiving?
My brother lives in Northern Virginia, and it's like it's a little too far to go to each other's house and do what we'd really want to do, speaking in code language. typically, Kim and I will alternate. We're actually hosting her side of the family, which is her
the
folks.
The Bug King
and
of Baltimore.
The Bug King of Baltimore, yeah, Charles and Lois coming down. And her sister and brother-in-law, but it's pretty low-key. And we have some friends, actually, who we've met through our kids who are not local to the area and have no family, so we'll have them.
You invite them over.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. I was going to invite Nigel, but he's heading out of town.
He doesn't eat and he's leaving town.
Well, yeah. Why would I celebrate your holiday?
It's not his holiday.
He eats mutton on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, what have you got?
Well, my mother was a great cook, so we always had Thanksgiving. My own family, 4 kids, plus both sets of grandparents. There was no kids' table at our house. I'm not sure why. Maybe Mom and Dad just put an extra leaf in the table or something.
Right.
But, of course, because we're Native Washingtonians, the occasional Thanksgiving was ruined by a Redskins-Dallas game.
Yeah, yeah.
There were many nights when poor Mom would have spent the whole day working on Thanksgiving dinner, only to have us all sitting in front of the TV with plates on our laps.
Well, that's it. Those games were 4 o'clock games. This is an 8:30 game, and the Giants and the Redskins, which is a huge draw.
8:30 tip.
As for my own Thanksgiving this year, I'm brining the turkey.
Well, you're
as
a great
we
cook.
Speak. I love to cook.
Yeah.
And I love Thanksgiving because it's all about just food and drink. It's none of this issue with Christmas presents and stuff
no.
like that. But
and plus, it's okay to hate your family.
No,
it's
I love my family, and it's okay to be. It's going to be a very smallish, like 5 or 6 people. And then last night at about 8 o'clock, David says to me, oh, you're going to kill me. You're going to kill me. There's something I forgot to tell you.
An entire busload of people is coming?
He's like done the highways and byways thing. He's gone out and like, come on over for that.
Oh,
which
no.
is it's okay. House. I've got tons of food, of course.
Right, right. Everybody
but,
overcooks for
but
Thanksgiving.
But you're just telling me now.
Widows and orphans?
Just about,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
So we'll be putting an extra leaf in the table,
certain
I'm
tension.
Pretty sure.
A couple notes on the food. Spatchcocking the bird again.
Yes.
I know I talked to you about that. Google it if you people don't know, but that's
cut
how I will
backbone.
Prepare a turkey. And with respect to what you guys were discussing yesterday, sweet stuffing, absolutely not, thumbs down.
No way.
Sausage stuffing is what I do
it's great.
And is the
yep.
bomb.
It's great. It's great.
And that's probably
and
my
And no oysters in the stuffing.
No, I'm
to
not
me,
a fan
no,
of that.
No,
like,
no.
why take perfectly good oysters and bury them in a mound of bread? I don't
right.
get it.
Well, so, you wouldn't do that with perfectly good oysters, typically.
Well,
so,
that
Greg,
is true.
You've come all the way across the country. Is this an annual pilgrimage, is it not?
Absolutely. And I'm also a little... I mean, Gary said that Northern Virginia is too far to get together with family. I came from L.A. I didn't know that was an
well,
option.
Well, no, no. You're not driving home is the difference.
Oh, okay. I got you. I got you. I understand.
So what was it like when you were a kid?
So grew up in Arlington, and then my one set of grandparents lived only like 3 or 4 blocks from us. So we would go over there in the morning, and once my uncle had a few pops, he'd put me in the car, and we'd go to D.C. to pick up my Aunt Claire.
Fantastic. After a few pops, he put you in the car.
We have an Aunt Claire.
And usually, yeah, Aunt Claire would usually answer the door in nothing but pantyhose at first, which at 4 years old, 5 years old, really
and
left its mark
on me. And
greet
you with like, is that today?
Yeah. So we'd get that woman in the car and take her back. And then
you'd put her in the car. You wouldn't put her on top of the car like the family vacation to Wally World.
If we could, we would.
Yeah.
But yeah, she would struggle. So then we'd spend the morning with that set of family, and then in the afternoon we would go to the other grandparents who lived in Clarendon.
Right.
Yeah, and now my wife's family lives in Mount Airy, Maryland, and her parents and my parents and everybody gets along really well. So we all head up Thursday morning to Mount Airy and have a Thanksgiving in the country, and all the grandkids and cousins and everybody is all together.
So it takes me, I don't know, less than 5 minutes to regret being around all my family, less than five most of the time. And then I go to another room, and this is accepted at my old age now. They just go, well, that's just who he is. Don't worry about it. And
do you take the open bottle with you, or do you get up from the other room and walk to the
open bottle? What I really want to do is I want them all out of the kitchen so I can stand over the sink and eat and drink and watch television. How long before you're done? You just say, okay, I can't.
There's not a lot of places to hide, to be honest with you.
In Mount Airy?
Yeah, in Mount Airy. So every room has a whole new adventure in it. So you move around. You move around like a fly with no legs and nowhere to land. You just keep moving.
So, Tony, who's cooking at your house?
Well, Elizabeth is going to cook.
Oh, good.
Now
she microwaves the bird, is that right?
She does not microwave the bird. Oh, so what happens is she's a cook. She's a professional cook. She is a great cook. The problem is we are three. She cooks for 20.
Yeah.
Professional cooks cannot cook three. It starts at 20 and it goes up. So I have food for a week, which is fine because I get to pick the menu. So because I'm going to eat the leftovers. Also, professional cooks, and this is so odd to me, they don't particularly like leftovers. They move on to the next thing, even though they cook so well and everybody likes
the leftovers. So when will you eat? So one of the cool things in our house is there is an understanding of the importance of football, even when the Redskins aren't involved. So Kim said to me, like, look at the schedule and tell me when you want to eat. And I said, okay, there's a 12:30, there's a 4. And I said, what is it, 12:30, 4:30, 8:30.
Yeah.
So I said, let's shoot for 3:45, 4 o'clock.
Because we are not burdened by that many people, we can eat when we want and watch the games at the same time. And that takes the place of what I would like to call familial conversation. Because that always descends into hell in a very, very short amount of time for me. I had spectacular dinner last night. It's so great. So Al Michaels is in town because he's doing the Sunday night game, which is Redskins Giants, and he said, you want to have dinner? And I said, yeah, can I take you to Chatter? And he goes, no way. No. Zero chance I'm going to Chatter. I said, Al, it's good. He said, no. So Al's choices are always the same, the restaurant in the Four Seasons or the Palm. So the Palm is closer to where I work, so I said, okay, we'll meet at the Palm. And Al says, I'm going to arrive at my hotel at 6, and I said, all right, 6:15, 6:30, something like that. I said, fine. And I said, Wilbon? He says, absolutely, bring Wilbon. So I tell Wilbon this 2 days ago, and so now he's ready. He knows he has to do this. At 6 o'clock yesterday, I go, okay, so, you know, Al will probably be there around 6:30, so I'm going to walk over to the Palm at 6:15. He goes, no, Al won't be there till 7:15. And I said, and you know this how? I mean, because he told you? Because he told me this is when he's going to... No, he's not even going to get into town. He won't even land till 6. And I think to myself, well, Wilbon must know this. I say, so, all right, I'll just go by myself in case he's there.
Yeah, I should be there.
I get there at 6:25. He walks in at 6:26. Wilbon at 7:15. It's just, this is Wilbon's life. The Wilbon's life.
I'm not surprised.
We had a very, very nice dinner, talked about a whole bunch of things. Remarkably to me, it shouldn't probably be remarkable. As you know, I forget everything that I've ever done.
You remember what you said.
Wilbon remembers games and stuff.
Right.
Al remembers every game he ever did, every game he ever went to. Al remembers everything. And Al is, and I guess I should have known, but I didn't know, Al's a hockey fan.
Yeah.
Al goes to all the L.A. Kings games. He was telling me how hard it is to drive from his house to the Staples Center. He says it takes over an hour. Do you go to...
Yes. So here's a funny story about Al remembering things and a hockey fan, because I was at a Kings game, and Al was waiting for his car outside for valet. And I'm walking past, and I'm with my kid, and I go, hey, that's Al Michaels.
Did you say, do you believe in miracles?
Well, so what I do is I go up, and I go, hey, Al, don't want to bother you, but my name's Greg Garcia. I used to work on the Tony Kornheiser Show, and way back when it was my father's birthday and we had you on as a guest and you wished my father a happy birthday. He goes, really? I go, yeah, you know, you did this thing. And he kind of looked at me, he goes, politely, he goes, yeah, okay, sure, you know, yeah. And I walked away and I got about 10 feet away and I thought, oh my God. I turned back and go, hey, you know what? It was Marv Albert. I'm sorry. And I walked away again.
That's great.
Yeah.
So he goes.
How about Greg?
He goes to games and he and Wilbon sat there and they talked about the Kings and the Blackhawks and the games the Kings and the Blackhawks have had over the last 15 years. And I looked, I know that Wilbon is a fan, but I looked at Al in an entirely different way because I just thought that when you were of that stature, okay, you remembered the games, but that was your job. But he's a hockey fan.
He's a big fan.
Buys tickets, goes to games. Doesn't do that for other sports.
Lest you think working with you doesn't stick on someone, how about Greg introducing himself to Al Michaels as, I used to work on the Tony Kornheiser show. Like, that's number one in your list of accomplishments?
Absolutely. Yeah.
As it should be.
And by the way, am I the only one in the room who's hoping that Al said sure and replies to you?
Yes, exactly.
Sure.
Sure.
So, I bought the dinner. So, I've now gone for two Palm dinners in 4 days.
Yeah.
Chatter could have used that money. Yeah.
Please
that
order
money.
Breakfast.
Yeah, buy two breakfasts today.
Get please. Post drink. Points for that?
Yeah, no, you don't get that. All right, we will take a break. Chuck Todd will join us when we return, if we were in the correct order.
Yes.
Yes, and he will pick games. Chuck Todd has settled in, as we will tell him, to that comfortable 3 and 4 slot every week. That's not the way to keep the job. 3 and 4 every week. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Hey, if you travel for work, listen up. This is the Upside read. The business trip you're about to book, listen up. Do you see how they did that?
Yeah.
Do it over at Upside.com, and I will give you two of the best gifts anyone will give you this holiday season. The first is a free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones so you can have some peace and quiet on your business trip. And second, I'm going to give you the gift of a better business travel experience. That's what you'll get when you book your next business trip at Upside.com, and here's why. Only Upside has customer service specialists who look out for you. I wish they would spell look out as so two words, because it's not lookout, who look out for you every step of the way of your business trip, handling any problem that might pop up. Their team is hard at work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make your flight, your hotel, your rental car all go off without a hitch. They're available on demand by chat, by phone, by email, whenever you need them. Only Upside monitors your business trip around the clock proactively, keeping you posted on everything from the weather in the city you're going to changing your flight home so you can adjust your meeting schedule. Have you ever experienced that level of service on a business trip? Nope. Well, I have, because of Tina Pagano, because Tina is the greatest person in the world. All that plus Upside has great prices for flights, hotel, and rental cars. Now, here's how to get your free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones. Book your first business trip at Upside.com, UPSIDE.com, and use my code Tony, and the Bose SoundLink wireless headphones are yours free. That seems good. That's
good
code Tony at Upside.com to claim my gift to you, Bose SoundLink wireless headphones, just for trying Upside. It's one more way Upside is looking out for you and helping to reduce the stress of business travel. Upside.com. You deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase required. See the site for complete details.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is from the rock and roll rabbi, Rabbi Misha El Ben David. He writes, this is a song written for the woman I'm related to by marriage. She was relieved to hear of the renovations to the women's bathroom at Chatter.
Yes, we all are.
Being a bit queasy about public restrooms as she is, I perform acoustic guitar and all vocals. Our women's bathrooms are great. They're great, particularly in comparison to the old ones. Our men's bathrooms, they need some work.
Although
guys don't care.
For the men and women, the commute has been vastly improved, too.
We have a chandelier. We have carpeting. We're better. We're better than we were. I feel good about that. Chuck Todd joins us now. As I said early in the show, Chuck has settled into a comfortable but bad 3-4 record week after week after week. He is now 36-41-1. I know you want to do better than that.
I do. I feel like, though, I'm performing the way Washington football teams perform.
Well, look, 500 within sight.
Yes.
A mere 6-1 week from 500.
500
Chuck.
Is in sight. Yeah. You know, it's like Redskins fans. 8-8, you know, it's always there.
Yeah.
8-8 is always sitting there.
Yeah, Barry Zwerluga has a column today about the perpetual mediocrity of the Washington Redskins, that
they're unbelievably average.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you keep thinking, oh, no, they're going to be a disaster, and they refuse to be a disaster. And then just when you think they can be good.
No, then they break your heart. They break your heart because they lose games like last Sunday. They lose a game like that, which is awful. And now they're complaining about having to play on Thursday, and we should be complaining about having to watch on Thursday because that's a bad game. That's a bad game.
I am tired of these Thursday games. You know, what's sad is, have you looked at this schedule on paper? If you'd have showed me this schedule at the beginning of the year,
you'd love it.
And you told me, oh, my God, it's Steelers-Packers. It's Giants-Redskins. There's, like, some really, like, Patriots-Dolphins, like compelling games from 2005.
Yes, but not from this week. All right, let's start. Exactly. Minnesota, a team near and dear to your heart, I'm sure. Minnesota at Detroit. Minnesota giving 3 at Detroit. That's a divisional game. That's the traditional Thanksgiving early game with Detroit. What do you got?
You never bet against Detroit at home on Thanksgiving. It's inevitable. Usually they're even crappier than they are this year.
Yeah.
So, no, give me the Lions. And I'm not going to be the idiot that doesn't bet on the Lions at home, especially when they're getting points.
Lions are getting 3. The L.A. Chargers go across the country to Dallas, a team in disarray at the moment because of the loss of Ezekiel Elliott and an owner sounding like a crazy man most of the time.
It's an interesting
now.
Way of putting that. The Chargers go across the country to Dallas.
Halfway across.
Yeah, I mean, anywhere they go.
Yeah, that's right.
But I was wondering if he went to the Saliza School of Geography.
No. Dallas. It's halfway across the country. The Chargers, who have won something like 4 out of their last 5, although not impressively, but they are winning games, they are getting 1 at Dallas, a team that looks like, I mean, Dak Prescott has had 6 turnovers in the 2 games that Ezekiel Elliott hasn't played. So it's a lose-lose. Ezekiel Elliott has not only hurt them, he's hurt Dak Prescott.
I don't know what to do with this game. I hate this game. The Chargers have been impossible for me. I believe I have not bet them correctly this year. I believe that you put them on here every week.
To hurt you.
And I don't. Yeah, that's what it feels like. It really does. Give me the Chargers because the Cowboys seem to be reeling.
That's what I think.
I'm betting on a franchise that's reeling.
Here is an overwhelming number. I haven't seen this number all year. The Chicago Bears are getting 13.5 points at Philadelphia. That is, I wish Wilbon was listening. I hope he's listening because this is a head-exploding situation for Wilbon.
Yeah.
The notion that the Bears are getting 13.5. That's so many points, Chuck.
Isn't there a rule? I feel like I learned this from Carville, that if you just bet double-digit underdogs in the NFL over time,
well, he used to say 10 or more at home.
At home.
You take every
time. Take the home
every
dog.
Every time, right? Yeah. You bet it blindly, and you're going to win like 60%. There's some number like that. This is too many points. NFL team, I'm not going to be on the side of 13.5 of giving it. So give me the Bears. They actually should cover this.
13.5 is a lot.
They play competitive.
So the next bet is.
I know you don't admit it.
The Bears,
they keep it close.
No, Trubisky put them in a position. If they don't kick that field goal, the worst field goal anybody's ever seen, they've tied that game and they've gone into overtime. They do
By
keep
the way,
it close.
What I loved was hearing Wilbon the other day just say the words Connor Barth over and over again. He just enjoyed saying that. It was like he just learned the guy's name and he was going to humiliate him.
And they fired him. They brought in a kicker yesterday. They fired Connor Barth, which they should have done. Buffalo is getting 10. Buffalo, I don't know how this guy is still the coach, Sean McDermott, after the Nathan Peterman extravaganza. He has not. We're doing this on Wednesday. This is a Sunday game. To my knowledge, he has not named a starting quarterback yet, either Tyrod Taylor or the aforementioned Nathan Peterman. They're getting 10 at Kansas City. Kansas City just lost and has lost 4 out of 5. Mm-hmm. I might give the 10 on this one. I might.
Yeah, I Kansas City at home, always tough. And right, you have to bet against a franchise that has a head coach that has got to have lost that locker room. There is no doubt he's lost pieces of that locker room. So give me the Chiefs.
I agree with that. I think that you drive a wedge into your locker room, the Nathan Peterman thing, and then you should have yanked him after the third interception. He gave up, basically, 37 points in the first half, and then they went to Tyrod Taylor, who had 3 interceptions all year.
Who does this at a 5-14?
It's so weird.
You're still in the play. It's the weirdest thing. There's got to be something we don't – I think you guys alluded to this the other day. There's something we don't know between him and Tyrod Taylor.
Has to be.
This has got to be some personal issue that we don't know between the two of them. It doesn't make sense.
The next game is intriguing because the Jets have been better than people thought, substantially better. But Carolina may be really good. I mean, Carolina is, that's one of the teams that is sneaking up on people, because people talk about Minnesota and New Orleans, and they haven't talked about Carolina, and Carolina is right there. Carolina giving 4.5 at the Jets.
You know why? You know why no one cared about Carolina? Because whenever you watch them, it's just bad football. It's never enjoyable. It's never an elegant game when Carolina plays. There's something just, it's always sloppy. Yeah, they've won 7 games, but they're just terrible to watch. I'm just saying that as a fan. I know you don't care. Give me the Panthers. Give them the points. I know. And I just, don't you find them unentertaining?
I do. I think they should be more entertaining, because I think Cam Newton's great, and they're not great.
He can be.
Yeah, they're not.
Then, you know, he constantly throws the ball into the ground sometimes. They don't have, like, a receiver that you just sit there and go, you know, that's fun to watch.
And they traded away Kelvin Benjamin, and Greg Olsen still isn't back.
I think he's due back this week.
I think he's back this week.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that he is a difference maker for that offense.
He is. So what are you going to do in this game?
Mr. Fantasy Football, my son, is like, been, you got to pick up Greg Olsen. And I'm like, son, the people I play against, they wouldn't have let him go. Just trust me. They've kept him on his bench. Anyway, the Panthers over the Jets.
Okay. New Orleans, which broke the hearts of Washingtonians last week late. They went away from their running game because they had to score in a hurry, and they did, because Drew Brees went 11 for 11 in the fourth quarter, and they had drives of touchdown plus one, touchdown plus two, field goal OT, 3 drives in a row. They are at the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams lost last week. The Rams, 2 games in a row, Minnesota, New Orleans. That's pretty tough.
Yep.
New Orleans is getting 2.5. That's interesting, getting 2.5. This could be one of those 35-32 games.
Should be pointed out, New Orleans traveling across the country to play the Rams.
Well, they're going halfway.
Okay, well, I'm just saying.
I think if you're leaving if you're not going Eastern time zone to Pacific time zone, you can't stay across the country.
Okay, so they're going 2 time zones.
Yeah, it was a failed joke.
Going 2 times. So what do you got? What do you got in this?
I say, by the way, more points than fans.
Yeah.
If we're doing it by 1,000, what do we think? 65 points, 65,000 fans. What's the over-under?
Well, the stadium only seats like 30,000, I think.
No, that's the Chargers stadium.
Oh, okay.
No, they're playing in the Coliseum.
Oh, right.
So that seats 100,000.
They can seat whatever they want. Right, exactly. Right.
That'd be a great prop bet, Chuck.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I've got to believe the over-under is in the high 50s on this one.
Well, I can find
I've
that
I've got to believe that.
But the question is, do you think you'll have more fans than points?
Yes.
More fans. You should.
Total 53.5.
That's all. Sunday, the 2 of the 3 best teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have to say, this one feels like a coin flip to me. I'm going to take the home team.
Take the Rams.
Out of, yeah.
I think I would do that, too. I think these streaks come to an end.
Rams are laying 2.5?
Rams are laying 2.5.
Yeah, laying 2.5. Is that what you gave me? I got 2 in my guy.
I'll give you 2.5. What, you have 2? Well, then I'll give you 2.
I don't need the hook. I don't need the...
It's better for you to have 2. I'll give you 2.
I agree. Okay. I'll
give him 2. We'll take... We want him to do well. We don't want to... We don't want every week to say it's 3-4 Chuck Todd. We don't want that to be. We want to say it's 6-1 Chuck Todd.
He loves saying it, Chuck, actually.
We want Chuck to do well, because when he starts winning is when we end the segment. And then we get 10 minutes of the show back.
Yeah.
I kid, Chuck.
New York Giants.
I hear you. Reginald is now drawing stuff on my door.
New York Giants plus 7 at Washington. Washington, a confounding team. The Giants won last week without bothering. As I said on PTI the other day, they seem to have given up scoring touchdowns for Lent. All they get is field goals, but, you know, they won. They won. So.
Yeah, the game still counts as a win.
Yeah.
I guess this is the Redskins are going to run. You know they're going to win 5 in a row. I mean, it's inevitable that they're going to do this and make everybody feel good again. And then, you know. Blow it when it counts. But give me the start of the streak starts now. Give me the Redskins.
Okay. Are you working Sunday? Is there a Meet the Press Sunday?
There is a Meet the Press Sunday. I already have an early guest that I believe I can tell you about. Nancy Pelosi, the House Democratic leader. We're still waiting on the White House and some things.
Okay.
So, you know.
Okay. How about LeVar Ball? You thinking about him?
Oh, my God.
Can't you have know, him on. Cannot have him on.
Somebody said something to me yesterday. LeVar Ball, Donald Trump, 2017. Does it sum it up any better?
That would be, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Doesn't that sum up our 2017 any better in the world of sports and politics? Right?
Cannot have it. Cannot win with them. Cannot play with them.
Nope.
Cannot have them. Thank you, Chuck.
No. Nope.
Happy holidays.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Chuck Todd, boys and girls. If we gave you Chuck Todd and Chuck Todd alone, that would be enough because he's a star. But we give you a monkey.
See the monkey, he's scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo. Reginald's got the bike spy too. Sometimes he throws poo. When he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
So you went to the zoo.
I actually did not go to the zoo last night.
What happened?
Just the zoo came to you?
Reginald picked me up in a black car, a black limo. And we went to the Grateful Dead concert together last night.
The Grateful Dead?
Yes. Well, the Dead and Company, as they're called now. So, yeah. So, apparently...
Grateful Dead?
Yes. I did not know this about Reginald.
And wait. And you're here this morning? They haven't stopped playing yet.
No, they're still playing. I had to leave.
He is a little crusty. Haven't you noticed?
But Reginald apparently played keyboard for the Grateful Dead. Yes, in the early 70s, right after Pigpen died. Apparently, he toured with them for a couple of years. So, he's got... big ties to them. It was a wonderful night.
So he's got the Dead laying three.
He's got the Dead laying three. Always takes the Dead. But the first game, in between the sets, we talked about the games. And the first game we gave him was Minnesota giving three at Detroit. I think we all know where this one's going.
Oh, he's going to Bud Grant.
He showed me a series of photographs of him having Thanksgiving dinner at Bud Grant's house from like 1969 to 1978. And you'll love this. Every single year, they dressed up as pilgrims and turkeys.
Fantastic. I'm going to be a turkey today, I believe, on the PCR show.
Of course you are. Something new.
And I'm going to be a turkey today.
So yeah. He will take... By the way, what is Reginald's record, by the way?
He was 3-0 last week. He's 18-14-1.
That's not bad for a monkey.
That's... not bad for... Chuck Todd would take it. He's not a monkey.
Yes, exactly. The next game we gave him was another one of the Thanksgiving games. Dallas giving one at home against the Chargers. And this was bizarre. This is a newspaper clipping of him in a production of Guys and Dolls. Apparently, Roger Staubach as Masterson.
Sky Masterson.
Yes, Drew Pearson as Nathan Detroit, and Tom Landry as Harry the Horse.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, so apparently he's got deep ties to Dallas. He'll take the Cowboys and give the one. And then, of course, the last game we gave him was the other Thanksgiving Day game, the Giants.
So his record will be done by Thursday night.
Yes.
And then taking the weekend off.
Yeah. Taking the weekend off, yeah. Well, the monkey's got big plans for the weekend.
Yeah. Right.
So he just showed me a video of him skydiving with Bill Parcells. And LT.
So he's going to take the Giants.
He's going to take the Giants.
Giants plus seven.
Yes.
All right. That's good for him, as we like to say.
I don't want
to
think about Bill Parcells skydiving.
They seem to have a lot of fun.
That's an image I wish I didn't have in my head.
It's a lot of flapping.
It is. All
right. I think Mark Bavaro might have been there as well.
We'll take a break. What do we have next? We have news
with Carver
and Jeff Ma. Of what is that called again?
Bet the Process.
Bet the Process. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Home Depot ad. I like this ad because it's short and it's good and I can read it and I like it. They say in life there are no guarantees. They say there's no sure thing. I'm here to tell you there might be just one exception. In 1924, Husky started making things for people who make things, and they did it with common sense, and that meant adding function, never frills, and making tools that stood the tests of time. 93 years later, Husky is still making quality crafted durable tools, and Husky stands by their tools for life. So they gave their hand tools a lifetime warranty, like the Husky Ratchet with a 100-position ratcheting design and a 10% longer handle than standard ratchets to do what other ratchets can't. I have no idea what ratchets do. I don't believe I've ever held a ratchet in my hand.
No.
But if you told me I had to go buy a tool and I had a lifetime guarantee, I would be persuaded that that was something to buy.
Yes.
Or the virtually unbreakable Husky flashlight. I have flashlights with the ability to withstand a 30-foot drop and work in up to 1 meter of water submersion. What is a meter? Is that like a yard?
Meter's roughly 3 feet.
Why are we going European on this?
Because it's the way to go.
Why are we going European?
It's
both of these things are guaranteed for a lifetime, but built so that you won't need it. Now, that's a pretty sure thing. And to Husky, that's common sense. Husky, common sense tools since 1924 with hand tools guaranteed for a lifetime. Your lifetime, I would assume. Found only at the Home Depot.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a group called Capitol Heights. I assume they're local.
Yes.
This is a song called Shenandoah Wildfire. And normally I would turn to Michael Kornheiser and I would say, if you want to send your music in, and all music is welcome, and all music is better than we have a right to get, Michael would tell you how to do it. So, Nigel, how do they send it in?
You can send it by carrier pigeon to
That'd
Chatham.
Be great, yeah.
No, jingles at TonyKornheiserShow.com. We'd love to see your, we'd love to get any music that you have.
And it's easy, as Greg alluded to earlier.
Yeah, you just rhyme.com.
Write a song. It's a big deal. Yeah.
Write your own song.
Yeah.
I'm always blown away by the talent of our listeners. I mean, it's just...
No, we're and blown away by Leaf Blower.
Leaf Blower.
This is... Yeah, just, this
back.
Is
going
He's
on 25
like,
minutes.
It's like they this wait until lap. We're about to come back on and like, okay, That's now okay. turn them on.
It's okay. This is the news segment. We will get to the news in a little while, but first we have Jeff Ma, whose podcast is called Bet the Process. And Jeff Ma, again, a... bad beat. The Jacksonville, it was DeShone Kizer. DeShone Kizer killed you. The last two times he touched the ball, he went strip sack fumble and strip sack fumble six. I mean, you have to hate, Jeff, you have to hate DeShone Kizer with the heat of 1,000 suns.
Well, my father went to Notre Dame, and we are Notre Dame fans. So we cannot hate DeShone Kizer. We just can hope for him to do better going forward.
That is so kind. I would hate DeShone Kizer. He's just killed you last week. What have you got for us this week?
Well, I wanted to talk about one thing quickly. You made a comment last Monday that I never listen to your podcast, and I actually do. I enjoy your podcast. And you had Wilbon on, and he was talking about how Wisconsin is being unfairly treated right now.
Yes.
What do you think the line will be when Wisconsin plays Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game?
Wisconsin plus 5.5 at least.
It's probably going to be closer to 10 would be my guess.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I agree.
And that is how little people really think about Wisconsin as a team on the field compared to a team like Ohio State. And that's why they are so low in the ratings. If they win that game, obviously against Ohio State, they will be in. So it does not matter because both Clemson and Miami cannot win because they're going to play each other again.
That's right.
So it's not a really big deal. If Wisconsin, all they need to do is win and they'll be in.
Just take care of business.
If they beat Ohio State on a neutral field, they deserve to be in.
And if not, there's no Big Ten team and there's no Pac-10 team. Right?
I think if Alabama wins out and Ohio State wins out, there is a better than 50% chance that Ohio State will make it.
With two losses?
With a two-loss team, yes.
What if Miami if Miami wins, then Clemson will be a two-loss team. So it would either be Clemson in or
Ohio State
with two losses.
Here's who's not getting in with two losses, USC.
No.
Right, Jeff? They're not getting in.
I don't think they're getting in.
Right. All right. Well, I tell this to Wilbon all the time. Stop with the Big Ten. Stop. They sit in that room and they say, you scheduled nobody and you're in the easiest part of the Big Ten. You haven't played anybody. Yeah. Haven't played anybody. All right, what do you got for us?
All right, let's start. We're gonna actually focus on Thanksgiving. We're gonna give you three Thanksgiving games.
Okay.
I like Detroit plus the three against Minnesota in their last three games. And normally I try to stay away from, you know, short sample sizes or recency bias. But in the last three games, Detroit has been really outstanding offensively, averaging 6.5 yards per play, which would rank them third of all teams in that time. If Minnesota's defense has any weakness, it's on the road, where they're about half a yard per play worse than they are at home. So Detroit plus three at home on Thanksgiving is value. I like that. Dallas plus the one. They opened at minus three, and the line has moved to them plus one. Obviously, they've been terrible since Sean Lee and Zeke and Tyron Smith have gone out.
Terrible.
Terrible. But that's why you have this overreaction. I mean, what would make this line? Again, they opened at minus three, and now they went to plus one. It's not like anyone didn't know that these players weren't going to play. I mean, there's actually a chance that Tyron Smith comes back. I think of those three, he is the most important one. So I would think that if he comes back, Dallas plus one is value. Even if he doesn't, I still think they're value.
Okay. So even though the Chargers, I think, have won something like 4 out of 5, and are a team that over the course of the year, when they lose, generally lose by 3 points or fewer.
Yeah, obviously they have had those pretty, you know, tough luck losses in the beginning of the year with missed field goals, etc. And that narrative, again, that you're talking about is the reason that this line, you know, if I had told you 4 weeks ago that this game would have been, you know, that Dallas would have been the underdog, you would have said, God, I love Dallas there.
Yes,
so
certainly.
Obviously, injuries have certainly changed that, but have injuries changed to the point where Dallas should be an underdog? I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm a god on a limb here. There's no chance Jeff is laying a touchdown, but go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, go ahead. What's the next one?
Yeah, I'm a Giants. The Giants plus seven. getting a full touchdown here against, you know, what continues to be a very beat-up Washington team. They've been pretty inconsistent all year. They, you know, they've had moments of greatness. Their defense is not playing nearly as well as it did at the beginning of the year. I just like the Giants plus the 7 here because, you know, I think that this is just too many points for two teams that are probably closer to even than people realize.
The Giants have won 2 of the last 3. I mean, Ryan thinks
the Redskins.
No. Just overall in recent weeks. I thought they'd won 2 out of their last 3 games.
No, I don't.
They have 2 wins.
They have 2. But
okay. Then they were recent because they were 0-6.
And the Kansas City game, their defense was really good. Didn't you think, Jeff? Their defense was really good. The Giants. They still score.
They were definitely aided by the weather a little bit. I think the weather made it pretty difficult to pass in that game. But their defense definitely played well. And if you think about, you know, some of these things, are like, what's the perception? How's the perception changed as the year has gone on? And is this true or not? But people thought the Giants were going to have a pretty good defense all year. Like, they had a good defense last year. And so, I mean, is their defense a lot better than it's looked all year? Probably. Is it as good as it was supposed to be? Probably not. But is it good enough to keep this within 7 points? I think so.
And just to correct Tony, between wins at Denver and this week at home against Kansas City, they lost at San Fran to the Rams and to Seattle.
Okay.
That's 2-3 in their last 5.
Well, they stink. They do.
that was the loss that created all the value in the Kansas City line.
Jeff took them,
yeah,
and they won. They won for you last week. Yep. So that was.
Hope you had them on the money line too, Jeff.
That was good.
That was a big one.
So no college games, Jeff?
No college game this week. The final game, we have to do it, right? He's the mascot of my appearance on the show. It's Cleveland plus the 8. what did I tell you? Insanity is doing the same thing every week and expecting a different outcome. Well, that's the case. I do think this is too many points. I mean, Cincinnati is not a world beater team. They are a team with a really good defense and a team with a very pedestrian offense. I would call Cleveland a team with an above-average defense and a terrible offense that happens to make really bad plays at crucial times. But giving more than a touchdown again, I can't see a world where Cincinnati should be giving more than a touchdown to anyone, even Cleveland.
Were you watching the red zone to see DeShone Kizer in those two critical play situations? Did you see that live? I did.
Well, what's funny is I was at a bar, and I was watching with a friend of mine, and you know, most of the game, it was within range, and Jacksonville's offense wasn't really doing anything.
Nothing.
And when Cleveland turned that ball over, and it looked like it was going to be, you know, a scoop and score for six points, I was like, I cannot believe this is happening. And then they called that play dead, and I was pretty sure that was going to be, you know, a fumble, and they were going to get the ball. And all I wanted was Jacksonville to get a first down. Because if they get a first down,
they start kneeling.
Clock out.
That's right.
And the worst thing I want is DeShone Kizer to have that ball with a chance to lose the game for me. Now, I made the mistake of going to the bathroom.
Uh-oh.
And when I came back, I looked up, and all of a sudden the score was 21-7. And I said, what happened? And he said, he tried to explain it to me, and I couldn't believe it.
It was.
So, I never even thought.
I started taking notes. My first reaction was, God, Jeff's going to lose this game. It can't be lost. He had this. He had this wired, except for DeShone Kizer. All right. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
You too, Tony. It's good to know that I finally really made it in the world when you're actually thinking about me on a Sunday afternoon. After our first interactions in life, it really makes me think I've made it in the world.
Jeff Ma, boys and girls, his podcast is called Bet the Process. I like him. Everybody knows that story when I first met him. One of the more embarrassing stories in my life, but not the most. You have news?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. With all due respect to Warner Wolf, if you had Charlie Rose lasting the week at CBS and PBS, you lose. He was fired yesterday.
And more people.
Yes, and then CBS came out and said there are more women
and
who
more
involved
people.
In this.
And so, more people. Yes. And more people. So, what?
So, I just don't get how it went on for so long.
Yeah, when
everybody
you hear the reports,
apparently knew it. And plus, I don't get why a man thinks he can walk around nude in front of an employee.
You got it.
Greg, explain that to
Mr.
us.
Rose.
And yeah. Also, I will say this, being the only woman sitting here at this table. His executive producer had at least one woman come to her and complain about his behavior. And
did nothing.
She dismissed it. She blew it off.
That's Charlie being Charlie.
Well, that's exactly the one.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I've had male bosses say that to women. Well, that's Joe being Joe. No, 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 no.
Well, that's going to end.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the weird thing about it, to Gene's point, is I have no issue believing that some corporation in the interest of profitability or just
Bill
flat
O'Reilly.
Out making money would look the other way. But on sort of a grander scale, I mean, due respect, I realize Charlie Rose is very accomplished, but and you'll be the first to admit this, and you're in a position where you're very profitable for one of these entities. Everyone is replaceable. I mean,
absolutely.
This is not like hiding that cigarettes cause cancer. Like, I get that. Yeah. I don't condone it, but I get why you know the tobacco companies would do it. Something like this. Why would you protect a creep like that? And just get some new creep.
If Charlie Rose is walking around naked, don't you think everyone is looking the other way?
Fair point.
I mean, you really can't blame people at that point.
Yeah. To that kind of joke, I got an email from Melman yesterday where it said that he read that CBS had shown Charlie Rose the door, and Melman said, he's worked there so long, don't you think he knew where the door was?
There it is.
Melman.
Melman makes me laugh.
Melman
and Garcia should work on a show together.
That would be a great show.
Yeah.
Melancholy at Betrayals, Mr. Tony. David Cassidy passed away yesterday at the age of 67.
Yeah, I have to say that I'm one of those people. I'm in the age group where I should have watched The Partridge Family, but I didn't.
No, we were too old for
it. I didn't watch The Partridge Family at all. I know that it was based on the Cowsill family.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I know that he got to work with his stepmother, Shirley Jones, who's still, as Greg points out, still working.
Yeah, absolutely. She was on a couple episodes of Raising Hope, and she actually came and my son did a performance of The Music Man when he was like six, and Sean Cassidy lives in the neighborhood, so she came and watched, and that was a thrill for everybody.
That's phenomenal.
I mean, David Cassidy was a teen heartthrob, and everybody knows that, and then had suffered greatly in this mortal coil as he got older and older and older, and another young man, to me, suffering from dementia, which he found out about just a couple of years ago. I saw an interview with that. My great friend Tracy Roberts said that David Cassidy was her first boyfriend who didn't know about it. She listed about nine boyfriends who didn't know about it, and David Cassidy was the first. And I think I Love You, everybody knows that song, obviously, you know. So.
Great piece, some good news, or some interesting news, rather, in the NFL from Mark Maskey, that the owners look like they're going to change the policy for the national anthem and the National
Football
League.
Why haven't they done this already?
Yeah, they're going to, apparently, at the end of the year, if these protests are continuing.
Why don't they do it now? Because, if you have a problem, and the problem is with the optics of a particular thing that's on television, take it off television.
Don't they feel that they would create more of a?
Yeah,
of,
I think
a
it's better.
Do you wanna, what is the rule? You want to finish?
Well,
yes.
What the
don't play
do
the
is,
anthem without the players on the field.
The players will be in the locker room at that point. So they, you know.
You want to know? Where,
I think they do this because if they made a change now, it would make a bigger deal out of it. If they do it in the off season, people forget about it, and then it starts, and you know, people have moved on.
President
at that point.
Has weighed in. You curious on his tweet on the matter? NFL is now thinking about a new idea.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he hates it.
Keeping teams in the locker room during the national anthem next season. That's almost as bad as kneeling, exclamation point. When will the highly paid commissioner finally get tough and smart? This issue is killing your league.
My friend had this fixed a long time ago when it was just Kaepernick. He said that they should say, now please stand, sit, kneel, lay down, or spit on the ground to honor our national anthem.
What?
Done.
Yeah, everything is good. Or in the case of Marshawn Lynch, just in the middle of it, just wander off and lay down. He lays down on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, he's Marshawn Lynch.
By the way, if you missed the 2 minutes that Michael Porter Jr. played in the opening game in Missouri, you've missed him for the year. Yeah.
Michael Porter is one of the most interesting people in all of sports now because he was ticketed to go to the University of Washington, where his father was ticketed to become an assistant coach to the previous coach, Lorenzo Romar, who was fired after Markelle Fultz could only get him to win two games in league last year. So then Michael Porter Sr. went looking for another job and ended up in Missouri, where he was bringing Michael Porter Jr., who's regarded as the best high school player in the country.
By the way, no relation to Otto Porter Jr., who's also a Porter Jr.
Right, he's none at all.
Different Porter Jr.
The kid plays 2 minutes and has a back pain and now is undergoing surgery. 2 minutes. I don't think he's coming back to school.
No.
I think he declares for the NBA draft. It's 2 minutes and done. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really think he's going to stay in school. Why would you do that? There's no reason.
Well, I guess you would do it if the NBA scouts determined that. I mean, it would be very tough to gauge his recovery.
You will hold private workouts.
Right.
Yeah. You'll hold private workouts. Yeah. And by the way, the success right now of Joel Embiid would I think, inform teams that even if we have to wait 2 years on this kid, we'll wait. Now, Joel Embiid, bad back, and didn't play for 2 years.
Right.
And now is lighting up the league. So, are we good?
Yeah, did you want to say anything with the final word about Joe Morgan and his letter to baseball?
Oh, Joe Morgan has written a letter to all of the voters in the Baseball Writers of Association of America and just said, you know, don't vote for steroid guys.
Yeah,
it tarnishes the hall. This is aimed at Clemens and Bonds. Aimed at Clemens and Bonds. Greg, would you vote, if you were a voter, would you put in Clemens and Bonds to the Hall of Fame?
I've zoned out of the last 5 minutes when you started talking about that basketball player that I didn't know.
Okay,
who that
so
was.
Okay, great. Gene, would you put him in?
Thank you for your honesty. I was that way with the betting and the odds. Well, here's my problem.
It's a show for everyone, but they don't have to
here's
like every
my
part
problem.
Of it.
Right. All Come and go. Along, I don't like Clemens being in the Hall of Fame. I don't like Bonds being in the Hall of Fame. Nobody has proved that they took steroids. And the journalist in me says, if you don't have the evidence against them, then you can't vote against them.
What about your Roy Moore position?
My Roy Moore position? Well, there is evidence to me. There's nine women who recall in explicit detail what
So you don't
he
consider it evidence
them.
That
well, he denies
that,
it, though.
That,
totally
that
denies
Andy
it.
Pettit says that he took steroids with Roger Clemens. He said that publicly. Okay.
Not enough for me.
Oh, yeah, wow. Morgan said.
Nice argument, counselor.
Morgan said anyone who failed a drug test, admitting to using steroids, or identified
in the Mitchell report.
Yeah, in the Mitchell report, which would also apply, I guess, to David Ortiz, wouldn't it?
No, because that was a separate New York Times investigation.
That was not the Mitchell report.
If you get the Mitchell report, I think you'll find a couple of names you'll find interesting in that. Okay. What would you do, Gary?
This is going to be a very flim-flammy answer, but I think they have to be in with some sort of caveat or asterisk. I mean,
they're
lame.
Two of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
And I have one small note. It's also baseball-related. I was just stunned that the ex-Braves general manager, John Coppola,
banned for life. Banned for life.
Banned
for life.
For doing what?
For
well,
2 years.
It was international sign. They were playing around with the international signing and
they cheated.
Monkeying around with all the money. I cheated very badly for a couple of years. But
monkeying around is a very distinguished thing on this show.
Yes, so it is.
It's a winning strategy.
All right, we get out of here. We'll come back. What do we have when we come back? Old Guy Radio?
Old Guy Radio.
Okay, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is a 20-minute song.
Yes, it is.
Don't you hate this?
I do. This is Arlo Guthrie and Alice's Restaurant.
I put this on in the car when the kids are bad. I make them listen to the entire thing.
In terms of critical commentary, Nigel just loves this song.
This is a great... I mean, I don't celebrate your holiday Thanksgiving, but I love this song. I mean, this is Arlo Guthrie.
Not only is it a song, it at one point became a movie.
And a terrible movie at that.
It was a terrible movie.
I took a class at Frostburg State, and the only thing I was graded on was my final project, and I just sat in a chair and recited this entire song.
How'd you do? Did you get a C or an A?
I got an A.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Well, somebody should version this in Mr. Tony's Restaurant and send that in as a jingle.
Yeah, I think that's a challenge issued, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that it's terrible, it's just that it goes on forever and there's no payoff.
I am on a long trip to travel to people to have turkey on the incidents where I have actually celebrated your holiday, it's a wonderful thing to sort of pass the time. I might be the only one in the room that actually likes the song.
I'm looking out the window at Marty West, the greatest amateur golfer in the history of the world.
Where
did
these
area.
People go?
Well, came
these
with about
kids.
10 people. They're leaving.
These are all his kids.
We did something that offended
them. They heard Alice's Restaurant.
Marty West and his boys are there, and his family is there, and I will see him later, I assume. I wanted, because Greg is here, and Greg is not here all that often, I certainly wanted to talk to Greg. First of all, You jinxed the Capitals the other night. You got to come back and go to a hockey game, you know, and you lost that game. I hope you took that personally.
I did because, you know, first of all, I was telling my son who plays hockey and won't play after high school, And I said, because we got great seats, and I said, you know, a lot of people don't get this close to their dreams. You only have a piece of glass between you and your dreams. And as I'm making that joke to him, they score. And so we missed that goal and never saw them score again. So, yeah, it was that was a rough night.
So is the most recent television show, The Guestbook, is that renewed?
Yes, renewed for season two. It was on TBS. I think you can probably still catch a couple episodes on TBS.com, and they'll air them again somewhere, and it'll land on Netflix or someplace soon. But, yeah, season two, we don't start shooting until April, so I have no idea when it's going to go on. But it was a lot of fun, that show, and I get to do more of them.
So let's get to the Broadway show, which is the spectacular achievement, because no matter what you think in your life, you don't think, yes, I'm going to write a Broadway show, a Broadway musical, or anything like that. To sketch out where we are in the process.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been like 4.5 years of working on it. We went to, we opened up in La Jolla last summer, or this past summer, and then it went to New Orleans for a little while, and Houston. Now it's in Chicago until December 2nd. And starting in February, we start previews on Broadway, and then opens on March 15th. On Broadway, and then I no longer have to do anything more with it, and I will back away, and hopefully people will keep going to see it.
It's Jimmy Buffett's story. It's Jimmy Buffett's music.
It's his music. It's not his story.
You wrote the story.
Exactly.
So
we took the music and then tried to figure out how to have an original story that it makes sense for people to sing his songs along the way.
Existing
songs.
Not new songs.
1.5
Oh, the Leaf Blower's here, so that's great.
He's off on Thanksgiving. Right. Yeah, so he's here today.
A holiday tradition.
All right, so how much interaction with Jimmy Buffett and any conflicts on the script? I mean, does Jimmy Buffett say, I don't like this, or I do like that, or let's get to this song in this way? How much did you deal with him?
We deal with him once in a while. I mean, he's a really nice guy, great guy. We will send him stuff. He will read stuff. He will have thoughts. Sometimes you will take those thoughts and figure out exactly what to do with them. But but he's been involved. We rewrite a lot of the lyrics now and again to make the story make sense. Because a lot of his songs are stories, so sometimes it takes a left turn in the second verse and it makes no sense to have these people singing it, so we'll have to change the words. But he's been very complimentary of when we change the words and like that and everything. So he's involved, but he's not like in the room actually writing with us or anything like that.
So what interests me about this, because I know how this works a little bit, sometimes I remember going to see the show Tommy. Uh-huh. And it's Tommy, but it's not the Who singing Tommy, it's somebody else. There's a Bruce Springsteen show in which Bruce Springsteen plays Bruce Springsteen and has a conversation. Then there's Jersey Boys, which I think is a great, great show, no matter who's in it, but it's not Frankie Valli, it's other people. When other people sing Jimmy Buffett songs, because now it's a story, and you got to push the story along. What is that like for him? What is that like for you?
I think he enjoys it. I mean, it's you know, it's interesting because, you know, men, women, you know, they all sing his songs, and different characters sing them, and they mean something to the characters. That was the big thing. Like, if someone's going to sing Cheeseburger in Paradise on stage, there has to be a real deep emotional reason they're singing that song. It needs to mean something to them.
Because it's not a concert.
No, exactly. It's not just Jimmy Buffett karaoke, you know?
Yeah, right.
I mean, Jersey Boys is one where it's like they're telling the story of Jersey Boys. So at any point, they can just say, and then we came up with this song and just sing it. And then it's like a concert. This, we need these songs to actually move the plot forward. You know, so he's been enjoying that. You know, he said at one point, I turned around.
You love this, don't you? Ambient noise.
This is like my old days at Better Lawn Service.
This is great.
Yeah.
We have this all the time. People say you're making this up. No.
In L.A., when you're shooting, you know, you go out and you give this guy like $200 cash and he goes away. And I always thought, what a great gig in L.A. is just have a leaf blower and go around and find people that are shooting shows. Take your 100 and move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jimmy was sitting behind me at one of the early rehearsals. And after the whole show, I turned to him and I said, that's probably the first Jimmy Buffett concert you've ever been to. And he said, yeah, man, I see what all the fuss is about. So I think he's really enjoying it.
So you had this thing in Chicago with Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, he came up. He came to the show with Jimmy one night, and he got up afterwards and sang Margaritaville with Jimmy, and that was cool. And I went back afterwards and chatted with him a little bit, and he was a very nice guy. So, yeah, that was cool.
I've got to believe that the parrot head thing is going to get old at some point for everybody.
You mean like just being how many times I've had to sit through the show and everything?
No. That all the people come in, they're going to come in costume.
Some of them do.
It's sort of like Star Wars.
Well, it's funny because like it's a mix of audience because you have the people who are parrot heads and they come and they could be wearing like hula skirts and you know and Hawaiian shirts and what have you and crazy hats, which they're nice enough to take off during the actual performance.
Right.
But then you have like subscribers to these theaters who they bought tickets. It could be Evita or Jimmy Buffett. So they and they're, you know, they're not young. They come crawling out of the ground like cicada and show up at the theater. And they, you know, they sit there patiently while everybody else sings.
You're an opening in a huge theater. The Marriott Marquis Theater is enormous.
It's big. Yeah, it's big. And it's right there in the heart of Times Square. And I think it's also a good theater because I think they want to have, you know, tailgating and what have you. They like to, you know, start selling drinks early. And it's that kind of show. You know, you come, you have a drink or two, and you go in and you just have fun.
Is there, do you anticipate, and I know this happens a lot, there's doctoring to plays. They get ready to perform, you get to Broadway, you think you're complete, and then all of a sudden in the last week, week and a half, you go, oh no, we got to change this, we got to change that. Any thoughts that that would happen?
Yeah, yeah, we change stuff all the time. I mean, we just got reviews in Chicago, and there's one reviewer in particular who I think they kind of pay attention to because he's been known to kind of, you know, give constructive criticism for shows that are getting ready to go to Broadway. And there was some stuff in there that definitely made sense, and we're going to make some adjustments because of that. There were other things that just annoyed me. Like, I think he said, like, the script was formulaic, and my thought was like, hey, buddy, how about you take Jimmy Buffett's music and figure out how to do a story where they sing? Like, what's the formula? JB minus X plus where the hell are we going to put Cheeseburger in Paradise?
Script read like it was written by a Frostburg grad.
Yeah.
Okay. You're a hands-on guy. You are a, I don't want to say a control freak.
I'm an absolute control freak.
So you can't, you're not the director of
no.
this. And you've been the director of sitcoms.
And TV, you're the king. TV's got it right. You give birth to this child and you are in charge of it, you know, the whole way. Now, yes, you will hire a doctor who knows how to, you know, how to treat the child. You'll hire a nanny to help you out. You'll listen to everybody, but it's your child in TV. No, this is like more like movies where the director is in charge. He's a very nice guy. He's a very skilled guy. He won a Tony for this show, Come From Away.
Which you loved.
Loved it. Absolutely yeah. loved it. But it is a different experience for me to go in and have to kind of take a little bit of a
back
seat.
Off.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. That's why this is my first and last Broadway production.
Say, you're not going to do this again.
No, because either it's a huge flop and I've wasted 5 years of my life and it's a funny story. I'll come on here. We'll talk about what a disaster it was. Or it's a huge hit and why not quit while
either
you're
way,
ahead?
Either way, you're done.
Yeah, right. Either way, I'm done with this.
Yeah, so what was the hardest thing for you in actually coming up with the script? What was the hardest thing?
It was just it was really the math of trying to figure out how these songs were going to be sung in a meaningful way because first thing I did when they asked me to do this was I Googled bad reviews of jukebox musicals, which I'm not supposed to call it that for some reason, but that's what I Googled. And every single bad review said these songs come out of nowhere. There's no reason for them to be sung. It's all squeezed in and forced in. So I really, really tried hard to. What I did was I listened to the songs, and then from the songs, I created characters because I needed those characters to be able to sing those songs. And then I started working on the story and figuring out what order the story would be in and how we could use certain songs in those things. So that was the hardest part. The most fun was like changing lyrics. That's fun. You just go to rhymezone.com and plug in the words and you come up with something like that. It seems it's pretty easy, I got to tell you.
Oh,
so
throwing
shade
on the jinglers.
If there's a really, like, I think Hairspray is a great musical.
Yes.
I just think it's wonderful. And yes, the songs come out of nowhere, but they seem to fit in that spot. They could fit in no other spot. It's for that
spot. But they're written for those shows. Yeah. Yes. Like, and we have, like, sometimes we'll have plot problems where, like, well, we want to deepen this character. And it's like, well, in a normal musical, somebody would go off and they would write a song for that spot that does all that work for you. But we don't necessarily have that option.
Is it funny Did you want it to be funny? Does it need to be funny, or is it just, is Lil Ding enough?
It has to have humor.
It is supposed to be funny. No, it's there's laughs throughout. People spend a great deal of time laughing. So
cheap laughs, I hope, because I love cheap laughs.
There are some just such cheap laughs, and some of the biggest laughs are puns that I Googled. Like, we worked on this so hard, and then there's two laughs in there that literally they're puns that I Googled, because puns I feel are public domain, and we have characters who like puns on the show. And I turned to Michael Malley at one point and I said, the biggest laughs are things I Googled. Yeah. This is terrible.
Well, I mean, I think it's important to be entertained, and it's important to keep things. There are really cheap laughs in the Book of Mormon, which is a great show.
Oh, so amazing.
And it's totally cheap laughs, and good. I applaud the totally cheap laughs.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a live event. I don't think, you know, you put the same pressure sometimes you do on yourself on some jokes with TV. It's a live event. Everybody's there to have fun. We tried very hard to have, like, there's no politics in it. There's no, you know, reminding you of anything that's going on in the world. You walk in, you have a good time.
And it opens on Broadway.
I think previews start like February 16th, and then March 15th is when it's opening night, done. Yeah.
So we should get tickets for the first night in case there is no second night.
Yeah, yeah. March 15th would be a good time. Good time to do it.
If it bombed,
what a story that
would
be.
You'd love it. And you'd
oh my God. I either want giant hit or giant flop. One of the two.
Fantastic.
Hey, can I just ask Greg quickly? You mentioned no politics. No, it's escapism. Nothing about what's going on in the world. But living where you live, suburban LA, I guess, where are you? Santa Monica? Or?
I'm in Hidden Hills.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is it like these days to wake up, open up the computer, and see another one of Hollywood's titans?
It's unbelievable. I mean, there's a lot of these things that you've heard whispers of in the past. Even like the Louis C.K. stuff was actually in articles and stuff, and he would deny it. But, I mean, it's really unbelievable. And some of the people getting dinged, you know, have just not heard these stories, but you've heard stories that they're just not nice people. So there's a certain amount
of... refreshing.
Yeah, it's a certain amount of just, like, joy in that. But it is amazing how you know, I don't understand it. I just don't understand the whole thing, and the walking around in robes and
no, it's walking around naked.
Walking around naked.
I don't want to look at myself naked.
No.
Why would I think anyone would want to look at me naked?
You're the 75-year-old Charlie Rose.
No,
there is nothing worth advertising on my body that I want.
No.
If I want,
I hate naked.
No, if I'm
hate
trying
light.
To yes,
two bathrobes.
Yeah, them both front and back.
If I'm trying to sleep with a woman, I mean, I don't pitch dark. I don't want her to see anything until she's made all the decisions.
We'll get out of here. Email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. Virtually everyone who's a regular on this show has the Harry's razor.
That's right.
Uses the Harry's razor, is happy with the Harry's razor. You already know that Harry's makes amazing quality products at a super reasonable price. Harry's is a company that guys love. This is the pitch to get people to buy these razors for guys. Over 3 million guys have switched. It's a practical gift he will get a lot of use of. You can personalize it to make him feel special. You can choose a color that's right for him. Now with limited edition holiday colors. Limited edition usually means two or three. Custom gift sets that fit his specific needs. Even a box for guys who already use Harry's. And there's a personal engraving option. This holiday, Harry's is offering custom and limited edition shaving sets that make perfect gifts for leaf blowers, for example. The gift sets were built with your guy in mind. You know he will love them. The sets come with German-engineered five-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave. Foaming shave gel that smells amazing. Special limited edition winter chrome and emerald green handles. That's nice. Personalize it with engraving. No matter what you're looking for, Harry's has you covered. And covered is good, as we've discussed. Sets come ready to gift in beautifully designed boxes. Gift sets start at just $10. They have great stocking stuffers. You know, get something for yourself while you're also getting it for someone else. As a special offer for fans of this particular podcast, we have partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off your order when you go to harrys.com/TonyK. And this offer is only available for the holidays. This holiday, give Harry's and give handsome. It's a good tagline. Get your holiday shopping done early and take advantage of free shipping. To get a limited edition holiday shave set, while supplies last, go to Harry's, harrys.com/TonyK. Do that now. That's harrys.com/TonyK.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Joe Arrow is about to sing, kids.
Yay, Joe.
The leaves are falling down.
It is remarkable
there
that the leaf
blowers... There is Joe Arrow, by the way, for those of you here that don't know. Stand up, Joe. Let's there he is. Joe. Yeah, there he is. Let's hear for Joe. Multi-tracking. Love
Before
it.
We get into the mailbag, let me say thanks to NBC's Chuck Todd, to Jeff Ma, the host of the podcast Bet the Process, to our former board op, Greg Garcia, for coming on the show. Done much better than we have. I'd also like to thank the sponsors today, Upside.com, Home Depot, Harry's Razors. Remember and listen to subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Sarah Curtin, I just wanted to follow up and let you know that a little came out to my show in Seattle while I was on my West Coast tour because he heard my song on the show. This is the second time I've met Tony Kornheiser fans at one of my shows due to being played on the podcast. Thanks again
for
promoting independent artists. It means a lot.
Yeah, that's great.
From Doug in Green Bay, I'm a tour guide at Lambeau Field. Late Saturday night, had about a dozen Raven fans on the last tour of the night. They were a little rowdy, a little out of control after spending all day Saturday getting ready for the game. So to get in their good graces, to calm them down for the 85-minute tour, I did what any self-respecting Wisconsinite who's never been to Baltimore would do. I whipped out my best Jason Lockenfour impression and asked, "Hey, hon, how about that Joe Flacco? What's Buck Showalter going to do with the O's, hon?" They calmed down for about 4 seconds, dazzled by my Wisconsin accent mixed with an accent of a place I've never been, and promptly remembered they were hammered and went back to being drunk fans far away from home.
And Jason's yesterday was as good, as, good as any.
That was great.
From Rick Fawcett in Youngstown, Ohio, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage and I had our first child, a feminine child, about a month after Bootsy was born. We think she might be teething, and I told her about Michael's recommendation about the frozen washcloth. Her response was, "So now we're taking parenting advice from that show?" I replied, "It worked for Bootsy." She looked at me blankly, failed to reply. "I should have told her you're a doctor. Thanks for the advice."
That would help.
And all the laughs. Matthew Cunningham, Dallas, Texas. About 3 weeks ago at my apartment complex, a leaf blower came to tidy up the area around our pool. I thought this was a one-time thing, but alas, he's been back at least twice a week since. While I appreciate the ambient noise from the streets of D.C., I don't need a live performance outside my window as I work from home most days. I'm sure this guy misses his regular job on Wisconsin Avenue. I'd be happy to ship him back to you. Does Chatter accept large packages with living things inside of them?
Probably not.
From Emily Stanley. I'm writing to ask for your help in wishing the wonderful man I'm related to by marriage, Logan Stanley, the happiest of 40th birthdays on Wednesday, November 22nd. A wish from you and the team would be a great surprise on a special day. His birthday oftentimes falls nearer on Thanksgiving. Well, I would think it always does because it's the 22nd.
Yeah.
And we are very thankful for him. Logan is a longtime fan of the show. I became a listener during the ESPN days. Logan comes from an all-boy household, avid sports fan, his favorites being the Missouri Tigers, St. Louis Cardinals, and Kansas City Chiefs. I, on the other hand, have only sisters, and our sport was cross-country. After we married, I began listening to gain more knowledge about sports. Years later, we both listened to the pod, Logan during the day at his office, and me while I ferry our two girls from school to activities. We enjoy laughing and talking about the episodes. Keep up the good work. Michael Giannopoulos, Kernersville, North Carolina. On yesterday's show, when debating Jim Tomey's Hall of Fame credential, you said he never played in a major market. In fact, he spent 8 of his 22 years in L.A., Chicago, and Philadelphia, the number 2, 3, and 4 markets in our country. I don't consider Philadelphia a major market in sports. I'm certainly Chicago and L.A. I didn't think Philadelphia was number 4.
No, I did not.
I think the Texas markets are, I don't think of them as major either. Major to me is you spend a lot of money, you know, on bringing in teams. Like Boston becomes a major market to me. From Peter Jennings, not that Peter Jennings, giving thanks for all of you guys on the best show. You all do a great job. I'm grateful I feel closer to family listening to you all from 6,000 miles away. One minor suggestion. Can you deport Salizzo like you did Blake Treinen?
Where is he? 6,
Marcus O'Sullivan in Phoenix. Between his mastery of the show opening music and the volumes of the live studio audience could hear today's show, one thing became clear. Nigel is the show's Marta Bus. Not Mita Box, but Marta Bus. That's the one that got right in the way of the demolition.
Oh, well, I guess thank you then.
Yeah. Ellie from Sunnyside, Queens. On Tuesday's show, Michael mentioned that Bootsy is getting ready to start rolling over. I hate to be that guy, but as a proud new father, I felt the urge to write in Sloan, who was born on 6/29/17, if I'm not mistaken, about a week after Bootsy started rolling over just short of her fourth month.
Boom.
So eat it, Michael.
Boom.
All kidding aside, the updates on Bootsy are great, especially when Grandpa talks about only poking his first grandchild. Yeah, don't hold him. I'm curious how your gestures toward Bootsy will change as he gets bigger. Will you shake his hand when he turns five? No, I'm going to let him drive the golf cart when he turns three.
Yeah,
and see if he can turn it over. See what happens then. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white. Thank you so much for coming.
What a waste of time. God.
that girl's been with more than you and me. When I look inside, I believe I know I've wronged, and she's the reason we bleed. Leaves have turned.